Good morning. We're very pleased to welcome you all once again to join us in our service. We also welcome the Reverend Ian Murray back with us today. Ian, as he has done for the past few weeks, will be leading our service and bringing God's word to us. Today, though, we're also looking forward to sharing communion together. After the service, join us if you can for our lockdown chat, where we have the chance to catch up with each other's news, and also share with each other some thoughts about what we've heard and enjoyed during the service. There's another chance to chat together on Wednesday evening. We've just introduced a new feature to this, an audience with, where each week a different person answers questions about themselves and shares a little of their faith journey with us. Access details for our chat sessions will be on screen and emailed as usual. Since the start of our vacancy, well over 4 years ago now, we've been praying regularly each week for the future of our church, during our services and also in our Wednesday 1 o'clock prayer time. God has been hearing our prayers, hearing and answering them. I'm delighted to tell you that the Reverend Dr. Breda Ludic has accepted the invitation from our nominating committee to preach as sole nominee for our vacant charge. Dr. Ludic is a minister from the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa who's transferring to the Church of Scotland. Currently, he is completing his familiarisation placement in a church in Edinburgh. Dr. Ludic will be preaching for us in the second half of November. Formal intimation of this will be made on the next two Sundays, and more information will come to you in due course. We do thank God for this answer to our prayers. But of course, we don't stop praying. We now have a new focus for our prayers week by week, asking that as we look forward with anticipation to this new phase in our congregation's life, God will help us all to understand and make real his vision for our life and work together.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to our service of this worship, to those of you who are at St Andrew's, Lambride and Urquhart Parish Churches. It's very good to have you all here this morning joining us in our virtual communion service. I'm recording this on Thursday evening, a slightly cold, damp Elgin, but it's good that you're able to join with us in real time on Sunday morning. Our call to worship comes from Acts chapter 17, and it reads, "From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." And our first hymn is the hymn, "For Your Generous Providing. Let Us Worship God." It's hymn number 655.
Thank you.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gracious God, as we gather this morning from different places, as we gather to remember our communion and how you sat around a table with your disciples, though distanced by time and space, unite us in this one common bond. Unite us in your forgiveness and help us, Lord, to reflect that same spirit of forgiveness and love in and through all that we do to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from chapter 2, verses 13 to 22.
We read from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 13, the escape to Egypt. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. For the past 4 years, I've served the church as an interim minister. It's a pretty nondescript title, a minister who fills a gap between the previous ministry and until a new minister arrives. But interim ministry is not about filling gaps. It's a resource offered by the National Church, which specifically helps congregations and presbyteries come to terms with significant change or trauma. And very often there are issues of conflict and disagreement. A situation has to be quite significant before it merits an interim ministry. Essentially, we are a team of seven ministers within the Church of Scotland, helping congregations come to terms with the past, whatever experience that might have been, helping congregations to find a new identity, because significant life events change us. When you come out of the other end of an interim ministry process, hopefully things will have changed for the congregation. And part of that change is finding a new identity, a reformed church, always reforming. And we prepare the way for future ministries. We help congregations build new foundations for the next settled parish ministry. So really, in essence, as interim ministers, we are troubleshooters, we are bridge builders, and we are peacemakers. There's little doubt that we see a very specific side of the church, the side which is often broken and sometimes dysfunctional, sometimes wounded and suffering. Occasionally, it's terminal and requires palliative care. Sometimes the old needs to die before rebirth, before something new can rise from the ashes. I've been in the church long enough now to know that we don't always embrace change with open arms. And there's a part of me too which finds comfort and familiarity in the words and the music of hymns, the prayers, the traditions of the church which I've known for most of my life. And sometimes it takes a crisis before real change happens. The wineskin needs to burst before we understand that you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. We've been forced to embrace a lot of change this year. Whilst online worship has been on the go for a few years now, none of us could have foreseen it becoming the norm because of the coronavirus restrictions on gatherings. Our online services include all the familiar parts of worship, our prayers, Bible readings, preaching, music and singing hymns. And some have also included the sacrament of Holy Communion. Virtual communion is something which has stimulated a lot of conversation within the church. For some, it's proved to be a profoundly moving experience of community, especially for people under the current restrictions of physical distancing, or where some folk have been self-isolating, especially for those who live alone. And if there's chat afterwards via Zoom or whatever medium, all the better. It's second best to meeting in reality. But that's not to say that everyone is comfortable with virtual communion, and for lots of legitimate reasons. For some, the single physical location of the congregation is essential. The disciples were gathered together in one place. Some might suggest that it requires a minister, someone to set apart the elements. But how does that work when the bread and wine are not all in one place? And there's the whole question about whether the service is live or whether it's pre-recorded. Does it make a difference? Whether it's real time with everyone sharing in the bread and the wine together, or whether people are tuning in to YouTube or whatever medium at any time they wish. Does it make a difference? Does it make a difference theologically? There are also some in more theologically conservative traditions where the table is fenced and they only deem those worthy to receive to be permitted to the table, arguing that virtual communion has no regulation of who receives and who doesn't. Everyone to their own thoughts and views, and it's important that we respect the differences. Personally, I found the experience of worshipping together online in the current situation much more moving and rewarding than I might ever have expected. Somehow the bonds of unity seem much stronger. We're all in this together and we're all trying our best to maintain fellowship, especially when prevented from congregating in our churches. And for me, that includes the celebration of communion. Even now that many churches have returned to worship following the COVID guidelines, it's still not possible to celebrate communion as we used to. And where we are unable to celebrate together in one place, I wonder whether we actually did that even before all these restrictions came into play. Were we ever entirely in one place anyway? And what I mean in saying that is that we all come from different backgrounds, with different experiences. There are different things going on in our lives. And there's little doubt that we're all in different places in our journey with God. There's not two of us in the same place with God. Some might feel close to God, others quite distant. Some might be filled with confidence in their faith, others with questions and doubts. Some filled with love and trust for God, others with anger and frustration with God. Spiritually, I'm not sure any congregation is ever in the same place. And that's one of the most wonderful things about communion. We gather virtually around a table to remember and celebrate something which happened a long time ago in a very different cultural, religious, and political setting, which included an equally diverse group of people who certainly didn't all agree. And yet they were united in and through the love of Christ, just as we are united with all God's people, of all places and all times, and with the whole company of heaven when we proclaim God's greatness and sing his praise. Whether gathered at our kitchen tables, our dining room tables, as I am tonight, or our communion table in the church, our fellowship with God, all of God's people in heaven and on earth, isn't prevented by circumstance of time. Our fellowship has never been prevented by circumstance or lack of physical proximity. And a lot of what we do in the church is based on virtual reality. Think about baptism, about the virtual reality of the Holy Spirit and following Christ's commandment. Without that, it's just a family gathering, a naming ceremony, an opportunity for a buffet lunch afterwards. Think about our journey through Holy Week. Without the virtual reality of what we know in the presence of God's Spirit, it's just history. But that virtual reality, that reality of Christ's presence, makes it an amazing, life-changing journey. Or even a funeral. Without the virtual reality of Christ's presence with us through the darkest of times, the promise of eternal life for all who believe, it simply becomes a humanist tribute to one who has died. And perhaps Christ is the celebrant at every communion, no matter which particular celebrant is standing there, or who is present, or where it happens, or whether it's wine or ribena or bread or an oatcake. I know one minister who celebrated communion using boiled rice and water, because in that particular space and time, in his circumstances, that was all that was at hand. The virtual reality becomes interwoven with the reality of the lives that we bring to the table, and we are formed and changed and made new. New wineskins for new wine. It's how God's love is expressed, not restricted by time or space or circumstances. Such is the unconditional, unrestricted love of God. This is the virtual reality. Every communion is a virtual reality. Our bodies are bound by physics. God's love in this world isn't. Our lives may be bound by time. God's Holy Spirit never has been. Our worship may be conditioned by present circumstances. but the fellowship of all believers, past and present, in the whole of heaven and earth, remains the same. Every communion is a virtual communion. Every communion always was a virtual communion. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen. Hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after he gave thanks and broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do so in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." As our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common use to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and offer our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. The Lord is with us, and we lift up our hearts to the Lord and give our thanks and praise. For it is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy. In all times and in all places, we give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, for the majesty of your glory, for the wonder of your works, for the riches of your grace. Therefore, with your people of all places and times, and with the whole company of heaven and earth, we proclaim your greatness, singing your praise in the angels' song, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We bless you for his holy birth, for his perfect life on earth, for his suffering for us, for his triumph over death, and for his ascension to your right hand, for all the gifts of your Holy Spirit, and for the promise of his coming again. So send down your Holy Spirit to bless these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the communion of the body of Christ and the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the blood of Christ. And that we, receiving them wherever we are, may be by faith made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits, to nourish us and help us grow in grace. According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial to him, who on the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in memory of me." Likewise, in the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do so in memory of me." Wherever we are, at whatever time, in whichever place, we take the body and the blood of Christ, broken for us, to remember him. Take and eat, and know that the Lord is good. Peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks, and praise for the dying and undying love of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you have brought us into communion with him and with all people who love him and made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom. By your grace, may we continue in this holy fellowship and live to the glory of your name through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we say together the words of our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. And our prayers of intercession.
Take his hand and never falter, for you'll be truly blessed. He'll lead you in the paths of peace, be with you when you rest. He'll comfort you in sorrow, be with you when in pain. God will never leave you, so take his hand again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our prayers for others and for ourselves. As the weeks and months pass by and our lives are still impacted by this deadly virus, it is becoming ever more important to acknowledge the blessings we have and to focus on that rather than the things we can't have or can't do. We are privileged to live in a beautiful part of the world, green and full of open spaces, near to the hills and the sea, and we have the freedom to enjoy them. Lord, we are grateful for all those health workers who have put their own health and that of their families on the line to help those who become ill with the virus. We remember in our prayers too the army of carers who look after the elderly in their own homes and in care homes, giving help and support selflessly. We pray for our children, especially those who are struggling to cope with the strangeness of this situation, with not being able to see much of their friends, with not seeing beloved grandparents or other family members. We pray for our teenagers, worried about getting the exam passes they need, anxious about whether they'll get a job when the time comes, or a place at a university or college. We pray for our students, many of them away from home for the first time, and none of them able to experience a normal student life at the moment. We remember those who have lost their jobs, their livelihoods, and as a result are struggling to make ends meet. Lord, Help us to see ways to help these people and to be mindful of their plight. We pray for those who are struggling with loneliness, coping with these strange and isolating times without the support of a loving partner, family or friends. Stay near to them, Lord, for they need to feel your loving presence around them. And show us how to ensure that they don't feel they are forgotten. We pray for all victims of violence, for the people in war-torn countries whose lives are being destroyed by the appalling behaviour of others. We pray for those who have lost their homes for whatever reason. We remember in our prayers those who are charged with making difficult decisions on our behalf. Give them the grace to listen to what others are saying or advising, and the wisdom to take what is relevant on board and make good decisions. And now, Lord, we pray for our church family, that we continue to love and support each other, ever mindful of those in particular need of our prayers. We bring our interim moderator and the members of our nominating committee before you, with gratitude for the effort they continue to make in their prayerful search for a new minister for our parish. We give thanks too for those who have ministered to us so well throughout this vacancy, and for those who have made these much appreciated online services possible every Sunday in all the months that we haven't been able to meet in church. We bring all our prayers before you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
It has been a wonderful experience to be able to share with you my thoughts on a virtual communion about new wine in new wineskins, and to actually share that communion with you wherever you are and whenever you have shared in this supper, joined together one another in the holy fellowship of God. I'm actually very relieved that the bread made it through to the end of the service with a black Labrador not far from the table and a little nose sniffing out the bread, but yielded not to temptation, I'm very glad to say. We are going to conclude our worship this day singing the hymn, Shout for Joy, The Lord Has Let Us Feast. It's number 676 in the hymn book.
Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King. Lift your voice and let your hallelujahs ring. Come before His throne to worship and adore. Enter joyfully now the presence of the Lord. You are my Creator. You are my deliverer, you are my redeemer, you are Lord, and you are my healer, you are my provider, you are now my shepherd and my guide, Jesus, Lord and King, I worship you. Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King. Lift your voice and let your hallelujahs ring. Come before His throne to worship and adore. Enter joyfully now the presence of the Lord. You are my Creator. You are my deliverer, you are my redeemer, you are Lord, and you are my healer, you are my provider.
And now, go in peace. The peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, may it guide and guard your hearts and your thoughts in Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you remember this day and always. Amen.